Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is Scott Campbell from the Stupid Things for Love podcast. I have a 7-year-old son, and the biggest mountain I climb every day is trying to put shoes on this child. And I'm so grateful to Skechers for making the only shoes my son will willingly put on by himself. Their slip-ons are amazing, and he doesn't have to deal with laces. He doesn't have to deal with anything. They come in the perfect color blue. Thank you, Skechers, the comfort technology company. And you can find Skechers everywhere. Skechers.com, a Skechers store, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
The Chicago Bulls are now officially moving over to a new broadcast network along with the White Sox and the Chicago Blackhawks. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Plus, we're going to look at why tanking is not the answer to the Chicago Bulls issues here. Derek Jones Jr. also makes some comments on his time ending with the Chicago Bulls. And we're going to look at the latest mocks. And they have a player that we've talked about a lot over the last couple of weeks being drafted by the Chicago Bulls. We're getting to all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Der Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that being said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. So it was announced yesterday that the Chicago Sports Network will be broadcasting Blackhawks, Bulls, and White Sox games beginning in October. The White Sox will make their debut in 2025, but the Bulls will be a broadcast over there as early as the preseason. Now, the Bulls could have extended their contract to the end of this upcoming season to stay on NBC. It seems like they went ahead and decided to make that decision. And then the biggest thing here is that it's not going to be behind a paywall. And so if you were able to watch the game on NBC Sports Chicago, you'll still be able to watch the game. And it's good that they did that. So many of these new networks that pop up are behind a paywall and things like that. We've known how Marquee has done with the Cubs and with the Chicago Sky, for example. So it's good that that's not what this new broadcast network is doing. And, it makes sense. They already have agreements in place with traditional cable providers. They'll also be over-the-air broadcasts, which means online through apps and things like that. They'll also be broadcast, of course, in Illinois, but then as well as parts of Indiana, Michigan, and Wisconsin. So that all makes sense. They're really launching this thing with a focus on being able to put the game in front of many eyes as possible. And so there's even a chance that if you actually were outside of the broadcast range of NBC Sports Chicago, that you may be in it now. So it's a good thing that's happening there. If this move was going to happen, it's going to happen. Stacey King, Adam Amin will stay on the broadcast team because they are contracted by the Bulls and not by NBC Sports Chicago. But some of the other guys, right? The Kendall Gills, and those guys, like, what are they going to do now as far as potentially moving over? And there's a lot of people over at NBC Sports Chicago. The Bulls Talk guys, you guys know I really like those guys, Kevin Anderson and Tony Gill and things like that. And so to see what happens with those guys is going to be important, very much so that the Chicago Sports Network could buy out their contracts to have those guys come over there and kind of keep kind of the same broadcast. But they're also going to want to put their own imprint on stuff as well. They hire the president of Stadium, which Stadium actually operates inside the United Center. They are owned by Jerry Reinsdorf. They took the president over from there. He's moving over. He's going to be running the Chicago Sports Network. So we end up seeing what happens and how this ends up taking shape. But it was expected. We talked about it about a month ago that's just is what it is. And initially it was thought that maybe they may move over to being broadcast by Stadium. That does not seem like that's going to be the case anymore. So this is a new phase for the Chicago Bulls. And the biggest thing is us, the Bulls fans. We can still watch the games, and that is one of the most important things overall, is that we still have complete access to the games. And, you know, that's really what we want, right? We don't want to lose what we've already had as far as access to our favorite teams. And so if you're a White Sox, a Blackhawks, and a Bulls fan, if you were able to watch the games, you should still be able to watch them. And honestly, I do hope that with this network launching, that maybe we can eventually, when the skies deal with Marquee, because Marquee's just not a good – I don't like Marquee. It is what it is. Maybe we can even move over to this. Maybe, you know, the Cubs, they kind of operate independently. The Bears definitely aren't going to move over either, but – you know, we'll just see what this means for Chicago sports. This could be, they're launching with these three teams, but that doesn't mean that it can't expand outside of that. And their coverage, as far as like if they do launch a podcast network and things like that, they could also bring some coverage to other teams. So we'll see where this goes. But let me know what you guys think on now that it's official. The Chicago Sports Network is a thing, and it will be broadcasting games this October, preseason games coming there. So let me know what you guys think on that down below. But all right, moving over to the next topic, this is something I've kind of touched on a little bit prior, right? Is that players that have left the Chicago Bulls and kind of have thrived in their new places. And we got two former Bulls on the Dallas Mavericks and one in Derrick Jones Jr., who really, you know, did everything for the Bulls, played out of position, things like that. He made a comment. Some people are kind of turning this to mean something different, but I'm going to play his words and then we'll talk about it afterwards. Let's go ahead and play that now.
You signed with the Mavs in August, and where you are now, has this worked out better than you could have imagined?
Hell yeah. Way better. I mean, I could have accepted my player option in Chicago and still been on a team that's not in the playoffs right now. But I mean, I just decided to bet on myself, and I took less money to come here, but the money wasn't the problem. The money wasn't the issue. I just wanted to have the opportunity to be on the floor and to showcase what I'm able to do. And it happened for me.
Free agency usually goes fast. What was it like just to have to wait until August to know where you were playing?
I don't know. It was nerve-wracking, I guess. I just didn't know what was about to happen. Like, I know where I was going. I know I know who was interested, really, because it was just that whole trade with Dame. It just shut everything down for a lot of players. But I talked to Coach Kidd, and he told me once I signed, and if I was to come here, I was gonna have to work for everything. That's what I did.
Is it kind of funny that the other team you're considering, Boston, is now being replaced in the finals?
Yeah, it is kind of funny, but. I'm glad I made the decision that I did and I came here.
And so in hearing that, right, he's saying that he could have accepted his player option, which I think initially there was some talk that he was going to accept the player option. He ended up declining that, and he ended up taking less money to go to the Dallas Mavericks, and he's been playing great for them. He bet on himself, and that bet, it worked. It paid off. It worked out for him. He's been able to be more in a role that fits his skill set. He played a lot of backup 5 minutes here with Chicago. He's been playing primarily the four and the three for the Dallas Mavericks. Now, of course, it does help having players the gravity of like a Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving and things like that. And that team's just the role players on that team fit very well together. I love how they've kind of built that out. But it just comes down to, you know, yeah, his time here, he was always able to find a way to make an impact. And you got to love him. A lot of Bulls fans were really endeared to Derrick Jones Jr. I believe he's an unrestricted free agent this year. Now, he only signed that one-year deal with the Dallas Mavericks. So there's a big chance that he is about to get paid this offseason as an unrestricted free agent. And he's earned that. You look at how that role came about for him, how he's thrived in that and been that ultimate role player. And that's really what he was here as well for the Chicago Bulls. No matter what he was called and asked to do at the position, he always did something. It wasn't always scoring a bunch of points. It wasn't always, the highlight reel dunks, but it was some of that. It was making the timely blocks, things like that. And then when they made their midseason trades, it just helped put him in an even better role. And so when you look at it, started 66 out of the 76 games he played. His whole time in Chicago, he started 8 games. He played he averaged 23 minutes for the Dallas Mavericks last year. Last season for the Bulls, he averaged 14. The season before that, 17, right? Averaging 8 points per game, 34% shooting from three-point range, taking 3 of those per game. The most he took with the Bulls is 1.3, mainly because he was playing backup 5. So, you know, how you use a player is also as about as important as the talent you have there. And the Dallas Mavericks were able to use him in a role that really that he could thrive in. And that's what, you know, that's a thing of also the roster construction of the Bulls you know, by the front office. It's not just a Billy Donovan thing. A lot of Bulls fans just blame Billy Donovan, but you kind of got to use what you have available, right? And so because of that, hopefully we have better balance. So the change that's been talked about this offseason, hopefully we have about better balance. But I'm happy for Derrick Jones Jr., happy for Daniel Gafford as well, who's been gone for a lot of time now. But I want to talk about this. What can the Chicago Bulls learn from what the Dallas Mavericks did? Because when you look at it, they actually could be in a very similar situation next season. And the reason why I'm going to say this is the Dallas Mavericks, right, last year, April 7th, 2023, a game against the Chicago Bulls, and Jason Kidd decided to not play Luka Doncic. That team did get a $750,000 fine, but he did not play Luka, and they also had a pick that was top 10 protected in the 2023 draft. They ended up keeping that pick because they made the business decision to go ahead and sit Luka, right? And then they went into that draft lottery. They were able to keep their pick and ended up staying in the top 10. And then they ended up flipping that 2023 first round pick and Bertans to end up getting Derek Lively, who we've seen how Derek Lively has played for this Dallas Mavericks team. He's played a really big and a really important role for them. Also, playing your rookies and playing your rookies in positions that make sense to them. Yeah, Derek Lively came into the season. Some people thought he could win that starting center position, and he had a mixed bag. He started 42 games out of the 55 that he played. When Gafford came in, things changed. But in the playoffs, Derek Lively has been so important to the defense of this Dallas Mavericks teams in the playoffs that it's been crazy. It's been great to see, averaging 1.6 assists, 1.2 blocks, 8.6 points per game, 7.2 rebounds per game. But you got to look at the impact that he made on the floor. They end up going out and getting their guy. And what the Mavericks did is they did not settle for play-in success, right, to make a play-in tournament, and they took the chance to keep their top 10 pick, and it worked out for them. And that's not the only thing that worked out for them. They also ended up building the roster really well. They have really good roster construction. They use players to their best of their ability. Oh, and then also something that we can learn from the Dallas Mavericks in all of this that we've got to talk about as well is the fact that they did not settle. They made an offseason signing. They almost immediately flipped. Like in that as well, the Dallas Mavericks did not rest on their laurels. And that is something that we have not been able to say consistently about this Chicago Bulls team. And that is a part of the reason why this front office and this Bulls team just seems to be stuck in a holding pattern. That's what the team needs to learn to do. They signed Grant Williams. Grant Williams did not work out for them. They flipped Grant Williams at the trade deadline and made things shake. Again, usually when you want the success, right, and be competitive, as the Bulls talk about wanting to be competitive, you don't rest on your laurels to get there. And that's where the Chicago Bulls front office has failed at. So I think the Bulls actually can learn a lot from the Dallas Mavericks. And that's not even just because they went to the finals. I don't think anybody's saying that if the Bulls do those steps, they're going to be a team that's all of a sudden in the finals in 2025. But what I am saying is that this is a blueprint. You got to take the chance of using your assets to the best of your ability and putting yourself in a position to where you can take advantage of that and grow and develop your players. And that's where the Bulls sit right now. And the question that they have to ask themselves while they're making change this offseason, how does this affect the pick in 2025? Which brings us to our next topic. Tanking is not the answer. I am adamantly against tanking. And the way that I look at the difference, right? Tanking means that you're actively trying to be bad and lose games. That's not what I nor Pat or many other Bulls content creators have called for. There's a difference between tanking and seeing where your roster actually is, right? And that's what I have been calling for this offseason. Not tanking, but trying to get to the realization of the assets and young players that you have on this team. Meaning, hey, by the Bulls typically not re-signing DeMar DeRozan, maybe even by trading Zach LaVine and doing both those things, that allows you a chance to evaluate which one of your young players are going to step up. Is Coby White really what we saw flashes of last season? Can he be more consistent of that? Is Io really the player that we saw towards the end of last season as well? And if that does work out, you're looking at it and saying, all right, we got us some gems that we can start building around. If it does not work out, you're increasing your chance to keep your 2025 pick. You're not tanking. Now, you are retooling the roster, but I think sometimes though, people kind of use the terminology of retool, rebuild, and tank all synonymously, and they're not the same thing. They are very, very, very different things. Retooling your roster means you are trying to change the roster construction to get better out of some of the things you already have here. Rebuilding your roster means that you are starting from the ground up, but maybe you keep a couple of pieces that are part of that rebuild. And tanking means you are just trying to be bad, to get the most bites of the apple and trying to get that first overall pick in the NBA draft. The Bulls sit in a place where rebuilding, retooling, and evaluation is probably their best case. Now, that does not mean that the Bulls are going to do that. This has been a Bulls team and a front office that has seemed adverse to wanting to taking that step back to take a longer term step forward is always how I describe it. And, you know, that's the methodology of this front office. But when you look at what happened in Denver, for example, where AK came from, that was a team that never truly tanked. They were bad for a long time, but they never truly tanked. And they kept a lot of their pieces and started building on those pieces one by one. Then they used some of their assets to go out and get an Aaron Gordon that turned out to be a really good player for them, right? But they also drafted smart. So in any of these scenarios, drafting intelligently has to be at the forefront of what the Chicago Bulls do if they truly want to get themselves out of this place that they're in. So as the Bulls look around, and you guys know, I'm honest with this team. People don't always agree with me, and that's fine. I want to hear your guys' thoughts. I love differing opinions. But at the end of the day, this team is far off from truly being competitive in the Eastern Conference per the way that I view it. They are truly, truly, truly far off. And it's a thing that the Bulls have to ask themselves again, where do we really want to be? And is this momentary success of getting to play-ins, getting to things like that, is that really what's going to get us to our ultimate goal? If our ultimate goal is being able to be a team that can truly contend, not just compete, contend. And that's the question that this team has to ask themselves. So, you know, making better decisions overall. When I went through that and you know, did that Nikola Vucevic trade and kind of relooked at the way that things went, it's just, yeah, it didn't work out for you. You're not always going to be on the wrong side or the right side of every deal that you make. But the Bulls have been on the wrong side of a lot of deals. And while players like Nikola Vucevic aren't bad in a vacuum, yeah, part of the roster construction makes a part of that. The deal still did not work out for the Bulls. It just didn't. No way that you cut it did that deal work out for the Chicago Bulls. It just didn't. The Lonzo Ball signing, great. And it wasn't, you know, injuries happened, but they are on the wrong side of the history of that deal. The Zach LaVine max contract, now depending on what you get back, we'll end up seeing. But ultimately, you gave him a max because of the way that he played. You wanted to try to build something to keep something together, and it just didn't work. Now you may have to take less on that deal, and your asking prices dropped because it just didn't work out for you, right? The Bulls have been on the wrong, the Javon Carter, the ball-headed hole signing. Anyway, definitely on the wrong side of that. So, like, it just, at some point, this front office has to start riding the ship, and you're not going to ride it with half measure. And we'll see what this offseason truly brings for the Chicago Bulls. It's really been kind of radio silent outside of some speculation and writers and things like that, having speculation on what the Bulls could possibly do. But this is a good thing. I think that, you know, the quietness right now is a good thing because I hope that they're focused, that they're in the lab focusing on what the hell needs to happen next to get this Bulls team to a place of actually being this competitive roster that people want to see from the Chicago Bulls. And we'll see, man. We'll end up seeing what happens. I overall, you know, like I said, this is the last season for me where I have kind of that blind faith. And it's not necessarily blind, but that I just give them the benefit of the doubt, I think is the better way to phrase it. You know, this front office, you got to put something together. You talk about change. You started making changes with your coaching staff. That's all fine and dandy. Love it. Glad that you're doing that. But the change has to end up turning into something. And if it doesn't, that's where things are going to start getting a little hectic for the Chicago Bulls. But with that said, we know that the draft is the next time that a lot of Bulls fans are looking where the Bulls could make some serious changes to this roster. And the mocks have been updated. They're updated at the end of every week. And one player is continuing to start being mocked more and more to the Chicago Bulls. Around this time of the year, as we get closer to the draft, after the draft combine, mock drafts start taking a bit of speculation, a bit of kind of some of the intel that some writers may be gathering from around the NBA of what other teams are feeling and what even some of the front offices are feeling. And it seems like Tajon Salloon is starting to be mocked more and more to the Chicago Bulls. Now, we talked about it, I think, last week as well, where he started popping up on some mocks. Now, I won't say the majority, because still some of the mocks have Dalton Knecht and, you know, the Bulls getting Klingon, which they would definitely have to trade up to get Klingon, but we'll see. But Tajon Salum continues to be mocked around that area for the Chicago Bulls, and it's raising questions on what is this going to mean? Will the Bulls actually draft Tajon Salum? And that's a question that we have to ask ourselves right now. Like, this, he offers some of the best upside overall in this draft. Young, raw prospect. You know, some have labeled him as a potential steal of this draft overall. It would be kind of a difference in what the Bulls have drafted in a sense, right? This team has always kind of gone high upside when you look at it, kind of raw talent. But Tajon Salum is a little bit different with that in the sense that he does have some things that could translate right away. The off-ball defense, the hustle, the switchability at being 19 years old, he's already bringing in that. The way that he locks in defensively reminds me of a young Jimmy Butler. Not to say that Jimmy doesn't lock in now, but I'm just meaning that young, raw Jimmy Butler when in his second season he got into some games and like guarded Carmelo Anthony and things like that, and he played really good. He understands how to use his length, his quickness, and he has that dog mindset overall. This is a guy that I really like, and he started shooting more threes in last year, so that could be something that's coming around for him. But again, your player development department, which we've heard recently as well, that the Bulls could be looking to even add to that player development department, which they've kind of done with the coaches that they've hired, because they've all been head of player development before. So I would not be surprised if the Bulls are lining themselves up to maybe take a shot at a Tajon Salum and go high upside in a draft that is labeled as a weak draft, but we talked about it and debunked it yesterday, that the stars come out of weak drafts. We've talked about that before. The 2000 draft was a draft that was labeled the weakest draft in recent memory, just like this one is, and we see how that's turned out. So if the Bulls can find themselves a diamond in the rough and Tajon Salum ends up being that, I, for one, guys, can't be mad at that at all. But you guys can let me know what you guys think on that down below. Now, lastly, before we go, we do have an article. This one comes from Aaron Kellerstrass, who has been doing a lot of writing, been looking at his articles a lot lately. And he talked about some of the free agent, 10 possible free agent targets for the Chicago Bulls. I'm not going to go over all these targets, but he does have some interesting ones on here. For example, he has Obi Toppin listed here. Now, considering that Obi Toppin is a restricted free agent, I don't necessarily think that that's going to be. Now, if they lose Patrick Williams, maybe, and they let DeMar walk, they can have some flexibility to maybe go after a restricted free agent. But then you risk that deal being matched. But Obi Toppin, you know, depending, I'd rather the Bulls, if they go center, cool. If they don't go center, if they get a guy like Obi Toppin, who's still kind of young, has some upside, maybe. Jalen Smith is a guy that we've talked about many times before. He has that player option he can opt out at, $5.4 million player option. If he does opt out of that, he is looking to get paid. And I don't know if that puts him in the Bulls' price range either. Mo Wagner's another one that has been talked about. He's in this article, an $8 million team option. We'll see if the Orlando Magic are willing to let him go. But then you get into a player that a lot of you guys in the comments have brought up recently. And I always kind of, because I just don't see the front office going after, but he lists Miles Bridges here. Considering that Miles Bridges is an unrestricted free agent, would they even want to sign Miles Bridges is what he has here, considering, you know, the domestic abuse case and things like that. Again, I'm not getting into that. I'm just saying kind of what's around it. Same thing with like a TSJ, with him having the case on him, the Bulls could shy away from it. But when you look at it, we know that he is a player that can score over 20 points per game. He can shoot the three ball. He's still a very athletic player. I just don't know if I see the Bulls going after it, but he is younger. He could fit this timeline, things like that. And he could be a player as well that the Bulls decide to go after. We'll end up seeing what happens with that. And then the Buddy Hield and Gary Trent Jr., two ones that he also has listed on this free agent list. And those are the guys that I think are realistic for the Chicago Bulls. Now, Trent Jr. may be outside the Bulls' price range. Buddy Hield could be a player that's looking more to take that mid-level exception. But again, this all comes down to the Bulls either finding a trade destination for Zach LaVine where they're not taking on matching salary exactly for him, or they're not re-signing DeMar DeRozan. And we all know that I don't have a lot of faith in that, in the Bulls not re-signing DeMar DeRozan. I still kind of think that there's a higher probability than not that he returns. But we'll end up seeing. But let me know what you guys think on that. Both Tajon Salum kind of starting being mocked more and more to the Chicago Bulls. Do you believe there's some smoke to that fire? Or there's smoke, there's fire. Do you believe there's some fire to that smoke? As far as those free agent possible targets, and we'll dive into that after. I'll get more into free agency after the draft, but it's kind of something interesting to kind of watch some of those names. But guys, thank you for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following the show at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns. BullCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail, for the mailbag. The number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, thanks to you guys. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.